Good to see you. Good to see you here. Everyone's healthy that's here tonight. Hopefully you're healthy, but we're glad you're here. And we're going to start off here in a minute with a song. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Charlie, would you pray for us tonight? Amen. All right. Thank you. Let's go ahead and turn to page number 253. Standing 253. Charlie, you just sat down. Sorry about that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's take some praises here tonight. Who would like to be first? Something you're just excited about. Larry.
I'm excited about being in church tonight.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Yes, Gary.
Very excited about my brothers and wife's service on Sunday.
Amen. Yes, snuck in the back. Gary didn't even know he was here until afterward. And that's one we've been praying for, folks. And so praise the Lord. Amen. Yep. Someone else. Julia.
I was waiting at you, but you didn't want me to speak.
I'm saving the best for last.
But I did have off to the bad start, but I had an angel come and help me, two angels. And the tire on the car was flat and had to go get it fixed. So that's the bad. And the best is I met with my sisters for our birthday.
Amen.
But still, we had a good time, and the day worked out just like the Lord wanted.
That's true. Amen. Yep. Fantastic. Someone else. Linda. Amen. Fantastic. And that's your highlight for the week, isn't it? Anyone else? Okay, well, let's go ahead and look at some prayer requests then in your prayer bulletin there. Let me see. There is another praise in there. Well, the missions team safely back. Cheryl's stepdad doing better. Amen. Amen. We're glad to hear that. Yes. Good.
And I do have a prayer.
Yes.
The Lord allowed me to stay home all day today.
Good.
I didn't have to go anywhere. It was awesome.
Aren't we just so appreciative of the little things? Yeah, sometimes. That's great. Awesome. That's good. Someone else. Mary. Okay. All right. We'll do that. Yes. Yes, that's correct. That's in the prayer bulletin there tomorrow. They'll be going down for it with Noah to get that G-tube removed. So thank you for mentioning that. Yes, sir. Okay.
And did it heart cath anyway, just to make sure. He's the one that had that massive heart attack 3 years ago.
Right.
And they found out when they went in there that 3 years ago, when he had the heart attack, he only had 30% of his heart working. Today, he's got 40% of his heart working.
Good. It's getting better.
Praise God.
Yep. 40's not good, but it's better than 30. That's right. Amen. Yes, Larry.
Best prayer for a man named Justin, and he's an inmate in a correctional center. I sent him a letter explaining the gospel very clearly. I went and seen him, and he's got a lot of that. If God loved me, why this? If God loved me, why that? So, pretty much prayer for him.
Okay. Yep. Pray for Justin, folks. Bobby, you want to share that request you had given to me earlier? Because I might just mess it up, so go ahead. Okay, all right. I would have messed it up. I had written Huck down. So, yeah. Okay. Yes, Jackie.
Number 18, Christian is going to have surgery on Thursday.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
He hasn't had surgery. Trying to get it scheduled for the elbow. They're going to put some screws and stuff in there.
Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah.
Is he able to work right now?
He is in his left arm.
And he's right-handed.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. They know what they're doing. They get it fixed.
Absolutely. Right. Correctly. The first time. Anyone else? Mary.
I have another one. Remember our grandson Jay?
Sure. Okay. We'll pray for her grandson, Jake, about a job. Leslie? Sure. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for reminding us of that. All right. Let's set these to the side. In your Bibles tonight, we're going to start Genesis chapter 1. This year, I think we kind of, when it came to the weather and what we normally expect, I think we kind of got gypped a little bit because we really didn't have spring, did we? I mean, but spring is really a lovely time of year, isn't it? The snow melts, the trees begin to bud, the birds come to life, the days get warmer, the nights still get cold, and that can be problematic. Potholes. Don't you love those? Hitting those with your car, trying to dodge them, drive around them just at the east end of Northern Avenue at the stop sign. That thing's always a mess, it seems like, down there. And the road crews come out, the potholes are patched. There we go. But it's only temporary. They keep coming back, it seems like, in those same areas. Well, here's how it happens. Here's how it was explained to me. Moisture in the ground during the day from the thawing and the moisture that's just in the ground, and then at night when the temperature drops back down, that moisture freezes. As it freezes, it, what does it do? Expands, right? So the moisture under the road freezes, expands, and begins to break up the asphalt. Then cars and trucks driving on it bust it up even more. The next night, same thing happens, and the road just continues to get worse. Now, have you ever noticed, though, that some roads are worse than others? What's the difference? The roads that are smooth generally have a thick layer of a gravel-type substance underneath of it. And that allows for the drainage of the moisture. It protects the surface from the effects of freezing and thawing underneath of it. Now, I say that to say this. That is a picture, in a sense, of our lives. The surface of the road, our public life, that which can be seen in our lives, that which we can see, our coming and going, the physical realm that we live in. And the underneath of that is our inner life, that which can't be seen. And what's that phrase, out of sight, out of mind? That's true, isn't it, when it comes to our inner life sometimes. If we don't give attention to the subsurface of our life, our inner life, the cracks will quickly show the minute there is changes or stress, just like in our roads. Proper rest is giving attention to the subsurface. Now, I said proper rest. Okay, I said that for a reason. Do we know what rest is? I was having a conversation with another pastor today on the phone, and we were talking about that and the whole idea of rest. And many times for us, rest is what? Oh, I got a day off. Woo! And I've got a million things to get done at the house today. Boom! And we're off. And we're doing all these other things because we got a day off of work, right? Sometimes, though, doesn't that carry over to Sunday? Man, I've worked all week. I just got to get some things done. So we're doing other things. What happened to our rest? Sometimes, and I've found this too, much of what we call rest today is just amusement or leisure activities. We're still doing something, moving, motion. The answer to that is an exhausted, passionless, no energy life. The answer to that kind of life is give attention to the subsurface. That thing that needs rest. That is where Sabbath or still time comes in. And that's what we're looking at tonight, those Sabbath times. Now, we recognize that word Sabbath maybe from the Ten Commandments, right? One missionary had wrote, he never stops to rest. There's always so much to do. And the missionary that was writing about this happened to be in an area with lots of other missionaries. And they're always busy, because one of the other missionaries might stop by and see him sitting on the couch. I'm going to tell the mission board. Those churches aren't getting their money's worth out of you. Now, it's kind of humorous, but they do feel that way. And don't we sometimes think that way about them? If they were to post a picture on Facebook of them and their family, let's say at a soccer game, and then a week later, there's a picture of them and their kids at a park fishing, and then the next picture is them playing in the backyard. Do you know what some people would think? All they do is play. You've seen three pictures, you arrogant fool. What are you doing? You know, you've seen three. And don't they get rest? We're going to see tonight in God's word, God commands it. He commands it. And in fact, if they don't get rest, they're violating God's word. And when you violate God's word, you lose God's blessing. If you lose God's blessing, you might as well not even try to serve God, because you're doing it in your own power. Right? And this missionary had said, though, that there's always so much to do. I wondered, do we think of time away from work as a waste of time? If we were to just stop working. You're not at work, and you're at home, and you're not working 12 hours in that day at home getting stuff done. Would we see that as a waste of time? There's certainly more that we could be doing, isn't there? The problem with that line of thinking is it does not reflect a biblical view of things. Sabbath, or rest, is God's antidote to workaholism. Now, how many of you would say, I'm a workaholic? Probably not too many people do. Workaholics don't say they're workaholics. What's a workaholic? Well, that's that guy that works 20 hours a week and his kids are getting arrested and his marriage is falling apart. He's a workaholic. A workaholic is not defined by the results of the man's activities or woman's. A workaholic is defined by his activities. It is the Sabbath, the rest, is the antidote, if you will, to men and women that think their worth is determined by what they do rather than who they are. That's what defines a workaholic. Maybe not even how many hours they work. There should be times in our lives when we say to the noise and the turmoil around us just what Jesus said: peace, be still. Be still. We have to intentionally add Sabbath times into our calendar, folks. And we're going to see from Scripture that it wasn't just one day a week as God laid out for us. Let's explore the importance of this by looking at different examples. Okay, the first one, the role model method. The role model principle. In Genesis chapter 1, look with me at verse 3. It says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." Okay, the creation account, and then it goes on to the next day, and then the next day, and it's very repetitive, and we know that, don't we? We get quizzed. Well, we don't get quizzed, but sometimes there's like quizzes with teenagers. Okay, what was created on the second day? Who knows what was created on the third day? And we look at that part of Scripture, at the facts and the trivia that's there. But we miss what really is there that God's trying to teach us. Not just that He created this on this day, or that creation was in literal 24-hour time periods, but we're missing more of the truth that's there. Look at that passage there in your Bible. It says, "And God said..." Well, what was that? That was the work that God was doing. He spoke. That was His work. And then in verse 4, it says, "And God saw." Okay, so He's not doing anything now. He stopped working? He saw. That's the end of the work for that day. The still time of reflection. God put a closure to the work every day of creation. That can be a struggle sometimes, depending on what your job is. Okay? It is for me. When I go home at night, I sometimes don't leave the office because it comes with me. It's up here. And my wife and I, my wife can vouch for that. And sometimes we're talking right up till 10:30 when we go to bed about church stuff. You know, and it's not a complaint. I'm just saying, for me, I have to really work at putting a closure to the end of my day and not working, even if it's in my mind and thought processes, clear up to the time I go to bed. Because God did this. He put a closure to the work, and He had a time of just stepping back and looking at what was done. It would appear here that God never engaged in this endless stream of work before He brought a close to the previous work with a Sabbath, a still time. Now, when the work was completed at the end of the 6 days, there was a major still time that took place. Now, why mention that at all? Why did God mention that at all? Why not just in the way that he wrote the entire creation account? Why did He do it that way? He could have just said, day one, light. Day two, firmament. Day three, land. And on down through. It would have taken up less space in our Bibles, you know. And we would have learned the same things that we think we needed to learn from the creation account. Well, He's establishing a precedent for us. In the very beginning, He establishes a precedent and an example for us. Remember, please, this is God's design here. Now, let's look at a second one, the rhythm principle. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made." Now, I know that we're maybe tempted to take this whole concept lightly. It is so contrary to the way we were brought up, isn't it? It doesn't line up with the striving for the American dream concept that we're brought up with. But consider the examples that God has for us all around us. Examples of this precedent. The heart designed by God to be still between every single beat. Work still, work still, work still. Most growing things in nature have a period of some kind of dormancy that takes place. Every cycle is completed by a period of stillness. After the creation account here in Genesis, we don't see that principle again in the Bible until Exodus chapter 16. Now, what's happening there? The Israelites, they're on their way from Egypt, okay? They're making their way out of Egypt. Prior to that point in their lives, in their history, what had the last several hundred years been for the Israelites? Slaves. Slavery. Work, 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 work. They had just spent hundreds of years in slavery. And God now had to begin to teach them this principle of work, rest. Something slaves didn't get to do. And he began to teach them in very small steps. They had to gather manna each morning. He's starting to teach them now. They had to work each morning and then rest. I know, it's small. But these people, they're like children learning a brand new concept. And so God doled it out to them in very small steps. We see it again when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. Okay, do you ever think about that? The Ten Commandments. These were the minimums of behavior. The minimums of core principles to live life as God designed it to be lived. Think of it, folks. Just 10. Remember, these were children just learning. And what was one of the Ten Commandments? One of the basic core principles of life that God said I need to give these children so they can learn it. It was rest. One of the basic principles that God said they need to learn this first. Rest. By the way, if you look at Exodus chapter 20, at all the Ten Commandments that are listed there, this one principle, rest, the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, but there's more. There's actually more verses assigned to this one principle, this commandment, than any of the other ones. The next closest one has 3 verses. This one has 4. And the 3 verses has to do with not making a graven image or bowing down to it. This is important to God, and He's teaching it right from the get-go. Now, number 3, the remembrance principle. In Exodus chapter 20, here we go with that commandment. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. That word remember has the idea of actually transporting yourself into a past event and experiencing it again, like we may do about a past vacation, and we're remembering where we ate, what the weather was like, the room, the event, the family that was with us, whatever it is. And we are taking time and remembering and making that become a real thing in our minds. To look back as God had done. To evaluate our week. Remember. Keep it holy, it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That means it should be treated like no other day of the week. Now, what does that mean? What does that look like? We're not going there because God's Word doesn't go there. Okay? We're not going to lay down rules and principles for what you can and can't do on Sunday. But it better look different and be treated differently from any other day of the week. A different set of activities. In the account of creation on the seventh day when God rested, did you realize His activity actually changed on that day? He was no longer creating. He had a whole different activity. Okay, so God demonstrated that. And a different kind of thinking on this Sabbath day. God was not thinking on that seventh day, okay, I got to do this tomorrow, and that next day's coming up, and I got to make sure I got stuff ready to do that, and then I've got to do this. By the end of the week, I've got to have this done, and I got to make these phone calls. He wasn't thinking about what had to be done. He just paused and looked back. So even in his mind, there was a change of thinking. How he thought was different on this Sabbath day. Number four, the renunciation principle. Let me explain what I mean by that. An important part of the Sabbath principle was the renunciation of work. Okay? Not because work is a bad thing, but because if work is not controlled, it gets out of control. I can do one more thing. I just get one more thing done. Just one more thing done. And then it begins to capture the affections of the worker and leaves no time for worship or rest. Sometimes if Sunday is our Sabbath, if that's what you're going to view your Sunday as your Sabbath, we wake up in the morning, we're frantic, we're scrambled, we're scrambling. We are scrambled up here maybe. And we get to Sunday school, if we get there. But we sit through the morning service and we're like, okay, now I got to go here and I got this thing going on at 2, but I got to go do this before 2. And then we go here at 2 and we spend the whole day here all afternoon with this. Oh, man, I'm just too tired. And we just go home then and crash in a recliner. Okay, we're on the couch. Folks, you can be tired here just as much as you can be tired at home on Sunday night. I guarantee you, okay? And if you sleep, I won't be offended. Okay? I'll just clap my hands and wake you up, right? Renunciating work, saying no. Work. That is going to enhance this day of rest, as we call it. I think we tend to think Sunday, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. All right, got to go to church on Sunday because that's what Christians do. There, I went to church. I have satisfied the requirements of remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy. But we've not rested. And that was the whole purpose for the Sabbath. Was not to get Christians to go to church and worship God. It was to provide God's people with a day of rest and worship of God. A good thing, like work, must be stopped so that a better thing can take precedence for a while. So God says, stop work. Number five, this is the refreshment principle. I had never noticed this in God's word before, and I'm glad I found this because it will help us evaluate our rest, or what we call rest right now. And you remember I said God would begin teaching us to the Israelites in steps, okay? Very minimum first step. There at creation. And then in Exodus, when they were leaving, he gave them another baby step with the whole manna and collecting and resting and working and resting and all of that. But God once again revisits the Sabbath principle, but now he adds to it. Look within me at verse 14, Exodus 31, if you're there. It'll be on the screen. Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. The Sabbath, folks, was not just for God, as we read in Genesis first. Now it is for us as well. That emphasizes the purpose of the Sabbath not being just to worship God, but for us. Look at me, verse 17. That'll be on the screen. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. That's new. On the seventh day God rested. We know that. But here in Exodus God adds, and was refreshed. Can you tell me the last Sunday you had where you felt refreshed at the end of the day? So that's why we are just going to one service on a Sunday. I'm just kidding. But let's be honest about this. A 1 hour church service is not what is leaving us unrefreshed by the end of the day on Sunday. Is it? Come on. It's everything else that we put in there. The literal reading of that verse where it says on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Here's the literal reading. God rested and refreshed himself. Here's our struggle. Do we really know what real rest is? Sometimes our rest from work, our activities that we do when we're resting from work, leaves us more exhausted than before. And the rest from work and the activities that we do while we're resting, okay, even if they don't tire us out, like I'm going to take the day off and I'm just going to spend the day on the golf course. I find that so relaxing. Great. And it may not tire you out. But many times our activities, when we're resting from work, they don't address the inner rest and refreshment that we need. There's nothing spiritually refreshing about our activities when we're resting. So what do? We have our, what we've come to call our quiet time. I got 10 minutes of rest this morning. Reading my daily bread. Whew. That's all I need. I need more than that to fight the spiritual battles that we face every day, all day long. Oh, we need Sabbath. You notice at the top of your notes here, it's called Sabbath times. Not just one day a week, but times each day. Maybe even moments in each day where we just need to get, as God did, refreshed. But for many people, the quiet time is so short, so brief, so structured. Let me explain what I mean by that. It's so structured. Many people have a plan for their Bible time, their quiet time, right? I sit down and I open the booklet and there's a passage. I read the passage. And then I read the anecdotal story that goes along with it. And then I pray through my prayer list. Close my Bible. Psh, done. So structured. Did you give God a chance to work? Just where was the meditation in that? Where was just letting God speak to our hearts? Praying, God, search me. And then letting him search you before you get up and do something else. And so our quiet time leaves us unrefreshed. But we tell ourselves, I have my quiet time. Okay, I'm ready for the day. But we haven't really begun to touch the inner spirit. So the other struggle is this. We do this. We just crowd Sabbath out of our calendars. Sabbath, what I mean is that rest. We crowd it out of, I'm just too busy. That's like saying, I'm just too busy to take my chemo treatment this week. That's foolish, right? And so it is foolish for us to crowd Sabbath times out of our calendars. We need to plan it into our calendars like we would our chemo treatments. And nothing's going to come in the way of that because that's important. So is this. We need to see it as important so that we will actually start to do that. Because failure to do this, it violates a principle of life that was taught by God in the very first core principles of life, the Ten Commandments. And it strangles our inner spirit to the point of inaction. So that spiritual things don't really bother us anymore. Someone falls into sin, we don't weep. God weeps. We don't weep anymore over sin. We don't weep over our own sin anymore. Why is that? Spiritually, there's just nothing there. We've crowded that out of our calendar, so it just continues to get smaller and smaller. We hear of someone accepting Christ. The angels are rejoicing. Amen. Praise God. Someone comes to church who hasn't been here in a long time. What are they doing here? Are you kidding me? Doesn't that just exemplify, though, this principle? That's what happens when we violate the principle and it strangles our inner spirit to the point of inaction, like a flat line on a heart monitor. There's just nothing there, one way or another. So let me challenge you with the time that's left this week. Schedule, intentionally plan some Sabbath times of rest away from work and just focus on God and evaluate, like, what has God done in your life today? And allow that energy to begin to come back into your inner spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for the truth that you laid out for us right from the beginning here in creation, throughout the Old Testament. Lord, we have gotten, I'm afraid, so far away from this because of this thinking that we have that the more we do, the better we are. But that doesn't make us who we are. Who we are comes from the inside. God, I pray, please, this is new, maybe foreign. It's a hard thing to wrap our minds around because we've been so far away from it. But God, help us to seriously consider this principle of Sabbath and where we're at as far as adhering to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's